Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. Today, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is preparing to answer a question that's critical to America's energy future. Who pays for new transmission power lines? As you know, these lines bring energy to millions of homes and businesses across the country. But right now, we don't have enough of them, especially as President Joe Biden pushes his clean energy transition. The obvious thing to do is build more lines, but that costs billions of dollars, and no one really wants to do that. So FERC is releasing a rule that addresses that dilemma, which has been dividing lawmakers and presidential administrations for years. It's a big moment in FERC's history, and today I chat with Politico's Catherine Morehouse to bring us up to speed and take us inside the political and policy dynamics at play. It's Monday, May 13th.
So this is potentially a huge rule coming out of FERC today, because what it basically does is ask the grid operators and the utility industry and all these folks who plan for the resources and the infrastructure that powers the grid to actually plan ahead for how and where transmission should be built based on the changing resource mix and where those resources will be sited. It's really asking utilities to plan ahead versus the old pattern that was really more piecemeal and reactive rather than kind of proactive to where the energy mix is headed. The commission will also make two other decisions that are potentially divisive and a big deal. One is basically who builds these new transmission lines, and the other one is on who pays. Overall, the expectations for this rule are really high. It's gotten tremendous attention from Capitol Hill, from across the industry. There are just pages of comments spanning over 2 years. And Chair Willie Phillips has promised this will be a historic rulemaking. He's really ramped expectations up high, including the fact that the commission is actually hosting a whole separate meeting just for this rule and one other transmission rule, which, at least from the commissioners I've spoken to, has not been done in recent memory. So definitely teeing things up to be a big deal.
Wow. Big day in FERC world. Yeah. And, you know, the issue of who pays, right? That's one in covering Congress. Both of us, we really saw how divisive, you know, this issue of so-called cost allocation is and how that kind of helped tank permitting talks here in Congress. So, I mean, what's the core dispute about there, in particular on the Republican side? I know there's a lot of concern.
Yeah, Josh, you might be the one person who knows better than anyone how contentious this cost allocation question is. And really, the core dispute of this is whether the cost should be divided regionally based on the benefits provided by some sort of massive transmission line. Say it's a transmission line that is bringing offshore wind into the Midwest, for instance, and maybe some of the East Coast states or some of the Mid-Atlantic states feel like they're not actually getting access to that power, and instead their state is just carrying this line through to the Midwest. They might not want to pay for those lines. And as you mentioned, this is a huge issue for lawmakers. It really helped tank permitting talks last year, and it remains a hot button topic on Capitol Hill. We saw Senator Kevin Cramer has been a huge opponent of anything that would socialize costs, as he describes it. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has really called on FERC to make sure that these benefits are spread out among consumers and has been more a proponent on the other side of things. So it definitely remains a contentious issue and one that will be interesting to see how it shakes out.
For sure. In putting this rule out, it really comes down to the three commissioners here, Chair Willie Phillips, Democratic Commissioner Allison Clements, and Republican Commissioner Mark Christie. We know that FERC, of course, is shorthanded, so these three are making this decision. And they do kind of represent maybe different parts of the political spectrum. So I'm just wondering how challenging you think it'll be for them to find consensus on this divisive issue.
Yeah, so first I should say they do appear to be aligned on the central premise around planning, right? I certainly don't want to paint this as a crazy divisive rule that there's no way they'll come to a consensus on. But that said, the most divisive issue will be this question of cost allocation, because Commissioners Mark Christie and Allison Clements in particular have just such drastically different views on this. I'll start with Commissioner Christie. What his argument is that the need for new transmission is largely driven by blue state policies, and that states without those policies shouldn't have to pay for the power lines that are required because of, you know, this new wind and solar coming online. Commissioner Clement says it will be much more cost effective overall to divide these costs regionally, and that this is in the national interest and will really provide benefits across the country and give everyone access to cheaper power. And Chair Phillips, we know, likes to be a deal maker. He will try to get both commissioners on board. But what I've heard from several people in the industry is that these are just such polar opposite views that it's very hard to imagine a situation where you get a total consensus from both Christie and Clements on this issue.
Yeah, that sounds pretty difficult. And you're reporting there's another part of this rule that's also controversial that could reverse a decades-long policy. So can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, so this is a part of the rule that basically determines who has control over building these new power lines. Interestingly, there is actually a lot of debate over how impactful this part of the rule will be. Basically, what you hear from large investor-owned utilities is that there has been this push toward competitive bidding over the last decade, starting with this 2011 rule. And that is what has contributed to driving the build out of these large transmission lines down, because they say this competitive bidding process is too bulky, too burdensome. It just doesn't work. And FERC actually agreed with them in its proposed rule and said, okay, we're actually going to give this authority mostly back to you and just give you the incentives you need. And you just please build these lines. Advocates of the more competitive process, including a lot of consumer advocates, say that if you put these large utilities wholly in charge of this process, they are not going to do what is optimal for the customer because they're the only ones who can build these lines. So why are they incentivized to do anything other than what benefits them? And they argue that we should lean harder into competition. This is an interesting policy issue in part because there are no clear partisan lines here. We saw this proposal to side with large utilities was actually proposed under Democratic Chair Richard Glick, and it was effectively a reversal of what the chair under Obama, John Wellinghoff, proposed. You have people like former Chair Neil Chatterjee, who's a Republican under Trump and is in favor of competition. So I think it's really still unclear where exactly the commissioners stand here and how FERC will ultimately weigh in on that.
Also, Politico is exclusively reporting that Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio plans to support a Congressional Review Act resolution that overturns the Biden administration's rules implementing the electric vehicle tax credit. Brown is a vulnerable Democrat facing a tight re-election race in a manufacturing-heavy state. He joins Senate Energy Chair Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who's already pledged to introduce a CRA to overturn the rules. But even if it were to pass the Senate and the House, President Joe Biden would almost certainly veto it. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.